English word, but the word is muse. And the idea of muse is to think, to use your brain, to think. Now, here in America, we have a lot of theme parks called amusement parks. And amuse, when you put an A in front of something, it makes the opposite. So what amuse is to not think. And that's what amusement parks are. We don't really think. We just are amused. And so there's a lot of amusement that goes on today. Now, we need to not be amused, but we need to be mused. We need to be thinking, and we need to be musing. And so we have this idea of transformed by the renewing of your mind. I do think we waste an awful lot of time day to day. And I'm not saying we should never be amused, but the idea is to exercise, to use the brain that God's given us. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. At some point in your life, you're going to realize that you have or you have had bad thoughts. And those bad thoughts come from what we allow into the mind. And the mind has two different entrances, the eyes and the ears. And what we allow into our eyes and into our ears goes into our mind. And then what happens is that we end up with imaginations and things that go against God. And so then we have to wrestle those things and bring those things into captivity so that every thought is to the obedience of Christ. Now, as a younger man, there were things that I had in my mind that came through my eyes or came through my ears that I had to bring into captivity. And even to this day, there are things that will capture my attention if I'm not careful. And I have to get rid of those things and cause those things to be arrested. The phone, you know, the smartphone era has made us instantly aware of this world and a lot of stuff. Now, I don't have junk on my phone, but, you know, any kind of media, there's going to be stuff out there. And by the way, our family uses something, what's it called? Clean Internet or something? Accountable to You, is that what it's called? Accountable to You. And we just put all of our smartphones on there, and laptops and computers and everything, and it's pretty good. I mean, it fires off a text to Wilma if I've got something on my phone that's questionable, and it's pretty strong. I mean, I think I looked up something, and it had a word in the title, just a word, no pictures, but there was a word in the title, but the word was, you know, questionable, and so it fired off a text to Miss Wilma, and the same thing for Caleb. And so I, you know, and you say, well, what was Caleb? It was something like robotic remote control cars. But there was something in the word that this accountable to you was worried about. And so, boom, it fired off a text to me. So I just texted Caleb, hey, what's this all about? And Caleb said, oh, I'll show you. And he showed me, and it was nothing. But I like that. And I think we are given the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to be our accountability, right? But I like that, and I have no problem with it. Now, Joseph, boy, is he a bad one. I get messages about Joseph almost daily, and it says something like this. We don't know where Joseph is. He hasn't been using his phone or his laptop or anything, you know. And that's pretty funny, but I know where Joseph is. But the point is that there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you or your husband or your wife or your kids, you wanna keep track, you know, just sign them up for that thing. It doesn't cost much. But the point is that whether you use Accountable to You or whether you use some other filter, the idea of bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's a principle that we find in the Word of God. Josh, will you give one of these to the folks that are coming in and maybe just keep track? There's I see cars coming in, so Just keep track of who walks in the door and let them have one of those. We're just getting started here. There's a principle that you replace junk with good stuff. In other words, you don't just toss out bad stuff, but you fill it. You fill the void with the good stuff. And God's got plenty of good stuff to fill our minds. So Ephesians 4:23 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." There's a whole lot of good stuff that our minds need to have in it. And so we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And then 1 Peter 1, verse 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober." Now, That word gird up, the idea is to gather up and gird up yourself like a man so that you can fight. Did you know the mind is a battlefield? Your mind is a battlefield. And when you've allowed junk into your mind and into your heart, you're going to have to do battle. Now, I praise the Lord, and I'm 47, and I can't say that this has been the case. I praise the Lord that the battles get easier, and there's not so many of them when you've been fighting. And I'm not saying, I got to be careful, because there's times. But I'm just saying that there was a time in my life in a younger age where the battles were a lot stronger than they are today. And I think it's maturity. I think it's allowing the Word of God to replace the junk. And even if we're Christians, we can still allow a lot of junk into our hearts and our minds. I was reminded of this yesterday. Joshua has entered the world of smartphone this past week. Got a phone for Christmas, smarter than he is. Or something like that. Here's what your phone apps do. They bing, and they give you the news, the latest news. And he said something about, it looks like they've passed the, it looks like they've agreed to and passed the $2,000 checks or whatever it was. And actually, that's not true. They haven't passed it yet. But you know that so much of the junk in the media today is written in such a way to make us think things are done. And they're not. The media is garbage. Now, I want to just publicly say to Josh and everybody else, don't pay attention to the media apps. Because even Fox News, but everybody out there picks and chooses what they want you to hear. Good evening, it's 6 o'clock. Here's what we want you to know. And that's true, okay? There's a lot of stuff out there that we never hear about that's good stuff. And we don't get the whole story. Be careful that you don't allow the media to control your mind, because it doesn't take long for someone to buy the media, and then they've got you. Be careful of that. So be aware. Be aware. I try to listen and watch and try to look at everything like, so what is it they want me to know today? What is it they want me to think today? Honestly, what is it they're trying to get me to think? You know what I noticed in the month of December? I listen to the 7 o'clock news as I'm getting ready to go on my bus. I'm sitting in my truck, I leave at 7:05, so KOTA News comes out at 7 o'clock, ABC News. And like every week, there was some report from South Dakota and how the COVID cases are terrible and how that these people are dying. I thought to myself, I never hear about South Dakota, ever. But somebody wants me to think South Dakota is a really bad place to be. And oh my goodness, it's all organized. And of course, I live in South Dakota. I know it's a bunch of baloney, all right? But it's all orchestrated. It's all on purpose. Listen, we know we got liberal media doing that, right? We know we got people, because we're carrying this stuff in our phone, in our pocket now. We know we got people out there that are trying to manipulate how we think about, you know, cases. Not deaths, but cases, all right? We know we got that. Guess what? You know where they learned it from? The devil. He's been doing this for a long time. He's been throwing things into our, to try to get us to think certain ways and to allow us to be persuaded. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, if you just go back to Genesis chapter 3, okay, it starts from the beginning. He got somebody to stop focusing on the everything good in the world and to focus on the one thing she couldn't have. And he did it. He's the master at it, all right? So be careful with what Satan can do. And I'm telling you, there's times where I'm just going down the road and I'm like thinking all this stuff and it's like, how did I get on this trail? You know, back up and retrace your steps. What are we doing here? So, you know what? The Bible says neither give place to the devil. There just isn't room for the junk. There just isn't room for it. The only reason why we know anything about Kardashians is because somebody thinks we're supposed to. You know, right? And everything else. The only reason why we think certain thoughts is because Satan wants us to. And he sees what makes us tick. And we got to be aware of that. So here's some quotes. A man is what he thinks about all day long. What do you think about all day long? The mind grows by what it feeds on. And this is a good one. You are not what you think you are, But what you think, you are. You are becoming what you think about. Right thinking produces right behaving. A thought becomes an action. An action becomes a habit. And a habit becomes a lifestyle. But it starts with a thought. I've got relatives that live in Washington State. By the way, I didn't know this until a month ago. I work for Harlow's Bus Company. They contract for school drivers and school buses. And they have buses in South Dakota. They have buses in North Dakota. They have buses in Idaho. They have buses in Montana. They have buses in Washington State, probably somewhere else. You know who all is running buses right now? South Dakota. I didn't know that till a month ago. The reason why I know that is because the bus manager said, there aren't any raises this year, there aren't anything like that, but just be thankful you got a job, because everybody that's working in these other states, they're not running buses. Whoa, at least Harlow's isn't. Washington State's a liberal place, especially the west side. I got relatives that live over there. They think corny, goofy. Why? They're surrounded by it. I suppose if I lived there, I'd be more liberal than I am right now. Because let's be honest, we get mesmerized and we rub shoulders with people and it starts to get, we are who we hang around and how we think. And there's a lot of persuasion there. I don't watch TV and I try to be careful what I listen to or don't listen to. But you can tell people who watch a lot of the world's media because they tend to think that way. A thought becomes an action. Action becomes habit. Habit becomes lifestyle. You read the book of Revelation. There's no way Satan's going to be able to pull off Revelation 1,000 years ago. But now that he's got everybody to carry their brain in their pocket, you know, all he's got to do is program your brain and it comes zips right to your pocket. I mean, how many of us can hardly be without our brain for 5 minutes? You know, we got to have that thing. It tells us what to do next. It's all part of a plan. I'm getting off on rabbit trails here, but beware, beware, beware. Input equals output. What goes in is what comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. Your eyes are like cameras. Your ears are like microphones. All images and messages will be permanently stored in the mental file of the mind. And so you be careful. We have some young people in here tonight. I know that Satan has some attractive things to look at and to listen to. I know that's out there. I know there's music out there that seems innocent, but it's really not. Sherita posted something from Puerto Rico today. I hardly spent much time looking at anything, but I happened to see she posted a pickup truck with a boombox speaker system the size of a camper shell in the back of the truck. Just speakers. And she only had it playing for about 5 seconds. You could hear Matt laughing and you could hear them talking about this truck's going down the road and it's just playing music. You know. And it was playing for maybe 5 seconds. In those 5 seconds, I heard a word I won't repeat in here. But and she was just saying, this is crazy. That's all she was trying to show. Look at this. But you know, you can't go. You can't go to Rapid City and go shopping without hearing something. You can't go somewhere and without hearing music and words and things like that. It's everywhere we go. And so people haven't really been doing this lately, and I appreciate it. But years ago, I would make a big deal about rock music. And it needs to be made a big deal of because it's a bunch of garbage. But rock music is rebellion music, and it's not just the beat. The words are 99.9% terrible. And I don't need that in my brain. And how many of you know that music is the easiest way for your brain to remember something? And so there's some of us, if you and I hear a tune, our brain starts playing it for us. And how many of you wish you didn't have some of those tunes in there? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Mr. Spear, never mind. He's got a whole different kind of tune going on in there. But anyway, there's just a lot of junk. And I've had men in our church say, oh, I used to listen to that. And I felt sorry for them because now it's like rekindled and it's playing over and over again. And sometimes it's not till after you're saved that you start to think about the words to the song and you're like, what in the world did I get out of that? You know? And so I'm talking about the mind because there's a battle for your mind. And just because you know the Bible, quote unquote, doesn't mean you know the Bible. It requires meditation to really grow. Job 23 on the back side of the paper. Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What a great concept. I consider the word of God to be more than my necessary food. In Jeremiah 15:16, the words were found. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, digested them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So, we're going to talk about meditation here. First of all, what should we meditate on? What should we meditate on? What to meditate on? It's the exercise of the mind. You don't need to turn there, but you can write this verse down, Genesis 24:63. It's when Isaac was going to receive a bride. I think he heard the rumor that dad had sent the servant Eliezer to go find a bride for him. And it says in Genesis 24:63, it's the first time the word meditate is mentioned in the Bible. And it says he was out in the field and he was meditating. You know why he was meditating? Because he's about to get married. Hey, listen, if you're about to get married, I think you better be meditating. You got a whole lot to be talking to God about and thinking about. And so the meditation, the exercise of the mind, what to meditate on? Letter A, the person of God, who God is, his attributes. I didn't play it this year for Christmas, but a lot of time we'll play that video, That's My King. The attributes of God, the things of God that are the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God. Can anybody think of some more? I mean, just the graciousness of God, the highness of God, the beauty of God. There's so many things about God, the omnipotence of God, the omnipresence of God, the omniscience of God. Just to think about how good God is. Psalm 104, verse 34. Psalm 104, 34. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. I'll tell you what, you want to just get yourself back into a happy state. Start thinking about God. Is there anything right now in this world that God isn't better than, greater than, higher than? Is there any problem in this world that God isn't above? Just think about God, the person of God, who he is. We ought to just stop and meditate on that. I was praying, I think it was this morning. God, thank you for your goodness. Just thank you for all the things. You've been so good to us. The person of God. Then the work of God. Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse 12. Another one is 143, verse 5. But 77:12 says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. The other day I was in a mechanic shop. It was right after it snowed. And I said, praise the Lord, you got a dry, warm place to work. You know, we need to talk of all his wondrous doings and praise God. We need to meditate on the work of God, what he has done. I want to encourage you, as I am trying to remember this myself, the more we meditate about what has God done, the more we'll brag about him. The reason why we can't thank God is we've forgotten what he did. And the reason why we forgot what he did is because we're not thinking about it. You know, thinking and thanking go together. The person of God, the work of God. What has he already done? You've heard me say it before. Stop. Turn around and look back at what God's already done. This isn't a big deal to you, but it was kind of a big deal to me. You know, I just got a newer car. And all of a sudden the key fob stopped working. That's a real bummer. It's a real bummer because everything's tied to that thing. I mean, it's got this electric ignition thing, and now you got to pull out the key and use the key. And then I tried to get it fixed last week, and when I tried to get it fixed, I only took one key with me. And so they tried it, they reprogrammed it. What happened is they reprogrammed that key. So now the key back at home doesn't work. So I'm literally down to one key. And the door lock, you know, it doesn't, all, you know, if it gets a little ice in there, it doesn't want to open. And so I'm down to one key, and if that thing won't open, or, you know, I can't even lock my car, or I can't get back into my car if I locked it, I was kind of bummed about that thing. That's frustrating. They said, we can't get it programmed. We don't know what's going on. Oh, man, I don't want to take it to Nissan, because Nissan will end up changing the transmission just to fix the key. So it was a prayer request. Did some reading on it. Bought a $32 part off of eBay. Plugged it in the other night. Took it back to the Harvey's lock shop today. Boom. It all works. All programmed. Got it all fixed. Praise the Lord. Now, I know that wasn't stressing anybody in here out, but I was a little worried about it. I was a little concerned. You know what? I want to brag about that tonight. I tell you, praise the Lord for that. It's a blessing. The person of God, the work of God. There's bigger blessings than that, though. How good God has been to us, the work of God, what he's done. A couple hours ago, about 3 or 4 hours ago, I was sitting down with three young people having a Bible study. Praise the Lord for that. The excitement in their faces. Two of them were getting ready to go to work. That's why they're not here tonight. But praise the Lord for the work of God, the person of God, the work of God. And then let her see the word of God, what God has said. But turn with me in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. In verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. The precepts of God are the mandates of God. God said it, that settles it. I will meditate in the precepts. And I'm a preacher and a teacher, so I suppose I've meditated on this more than some others, but it's not necessarily, just because you're a preacher or teacher doesn't mean you're supposed to know it better than anybody else. There's no reason why Bob can't meditate on the precepts of God or Treg or anybody else. But have you ever just stopped and thought, thou shalt not steal? Now, why did he say that? Well, I think we can, well, I know why he said thou shalt not steal, because that's not fair. All right. Thou shalt not covet. Who's that going to hurt? I mean, who's, you know, if Hannah's coveting right now, is anybody else hearing it? Anybody else see? Why did he decide that was part of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not covet. Have you ever just stopped to meditate on why he says what he says? Have you ever just stopped? Because I know he's perfect, so I know everything he says has got a purpose. But let's be honest. Some stuff he says, we don't know what the purpose is in the present. There's a reason. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why did he say that? God said it, that settles it. Those are the mandates of God. Meditate on what his precepts are. Another one, verse 23, Psalm 119, verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. In thy statutes. What are statutes? You know, I'll just say it this way because I'm a simple bumpkin. Statutes are kind of like statues. There's a similarity in the meaning. The idea is engraved, set, etched in stone. You ever hear that? Why is it that God has things etched in stone? Permanent. I just love the fact that it's permanent. I love the fact that this hasn't changed in thousands of years. That we're not having new rules now, like we are in our country. I love the fact that what he said is what he meant, and it's set in stone. By the way, he's Father, so I think fathers should have those kinds of attributes as well. That we know what's right, we know what the statutes are. You've heard of state statutes. There's things that are not, you just can't change them. Engraved. Set, permanent. just meditating in the Word of God, the precepts, the statutes. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You know what a testimony is? Your reputation. What's God's reputation? You meditate on the reputation of God. You just stop and meditate on what God has done, his testimonies. I have more understanding than all my teachers because I meditate on the testimonies and the experience I've had with God. And then, of course, the Word of God. Verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. The will of God that's been articulated by his mouth. What he said, meditating on that. I love what he said, how he says it, and how when he said what he said, it was for all time. So we talk about what to meditate on: the person of God, the work of God, and the Word of God. And by this, by the way, I'll say this: you can write this down if you want. It's not original with me. Spiritual Christians are scriptural Christians. Spiritual Christians are always scriptural Christians. If someone says that person is very spiritual, because why? Spiritual Christians are always scriptural Christians. They're spiritual because they're scriptural. They know what the Word of God says. So what to meditate on? Then secondly, when to meditate. We read it in Psalm 1, verse 2. And in his law doth he meditate. What's the next? Day and night. We should be in his word and thinking on it as we get up in the morning. We should be in his word and thinking on things of his word in the evening. Psalm 63 in verse 6 says this. Psalm 63, 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. At bedtime. The night watches. If you're getting old like I am, you're starting to wake up. I'm starting to wake up early in the morning. And I got a hip that talks to me and won't let me go back to sleep. But you know what? I'm not turning on the screen. I'm not going to read something from a screen. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to go look at something on the phone. There's other things I can do. I can meditate. I can talk to the Lord. I can think about what things I should be thinking about. When to meditate, day and night, at bedtime. And then 119 again and verse 97. 119, 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, the more that we get ourselves in the Word of God, we can start singing it. If you come to Sunday school, you can sing Bible verses. Those songs that we sing in Sunday school are not for Rosie and Lily. They're for everybody in here. Please sing them. Please sing them, not just because I want you to be an example. No, sing them for yourself. There was a grandpa that came here with his granddaughter years ago. And one day in his house, he was humming this tune. Away. He looked at his grandma or his granddaughter and he said, "Where did I get that?" And she laughed at him. She said, "In Sunday school. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll walk with him alway." Listen to me. Tunes stick. And when you put tunes with the Word of God, you'll have your own pre-recorded iPod up in your head. And you can start to have those songs. And why not? Singing and humming it throughout the day. But you can't if you got something else on the radio. Because that's what will be in your head. And so I've learned that what garbage in, garbage out. What goes in is what's going to be there. And so if I'm not listening to a sermon, I might be having a CD that's something, you know, Abigail Miller, a lot of her songs are, I know where the Bible verse is at that comes to next to that song. I already said Ron Hamilton, Passion of the Pirate. Lots of Ron Hamilton songs. It's like I know the verse where he got that song at. Be still and know that I am God. I know where he got that. And it's just good reminders. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in your heart richly. Let it not just memorize so that you can get a trophy and win a quiz or Anchor Club, but let the word of Christ dwell in your heart richly. Let it be saturated richly. Let it dwell in your hearts richly. The saturation of the word of God. In the days of persecution, the Christians who memorized the word of God had it, even when their Bibles were taken from them. The Christians who had it saturated in their mind and heart still had it, even when they couldn't read it. And I don't know how long it's going to be, but those days are coming again. What to meditate on, when to meditate, and why should I meditate? The second time in the Bible that you see the word meditate is Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. The first time was when Isaac was meditating about being married to his new bride. Joshua chapter 1 is the second time you see the word. Why should I meditate? Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Success and meditating on the word of God go together. We sing that Psalm 19. You know, the law of the Lord is perfect, sweeter than honey, than the honeycomb. And at the last verse in Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, thy strength and thy redeemer. Success is meditating and obeying and doing the word of God. I'll tell you what helped me more than anything, and there's some young men in this room, so I'm going to say it for them and for the old men in here. I'll tell you what helped me to conquer some bad thinking in my mind was when I learned to meditate and to take seriously what Jesus said in the word of God. If you look at a woman and lust after her in your heart, you're committing adultery. If you covet your neighbor's wife or anything that's your neighbor's, that's against the law of God. You meditate on what his word says. Why should I meditate? Good success. And then another time, one of the few other times in the Bible that you'll see the word meditate is Psalm chapter 1, where we started. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's a whole radio station called ESPN, and it's just sports all day long. Now, I like sports, but I'll tell you what, it's a bunch of counsel of the ungodly. And they talk about all kinds, and after a while they have to talk about something, and it's usually risque and off color to keep it entertaining in their minds. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And what happens? Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When you meditate, there's growth. And look at that verse, those three verses. There's growth, there's health, and there's fruitfulness. There's growth. I was talking today with those young adults that we were having a Bible study with. Maturity is growing, being healthy, and being fruitful. I'm glad that you're here tonight, and of course that's a good thing to be in church. Obviously the Word of God is going to be open and read and talked about in church. But do you understand that this meditation thing is not just Sundays and Wednesdays. And meditation, we've got MP3 and we have CDs of the entire Bible. You can just listen to the Word of God. We've got a shelf with CDs about this much of them, of good music, good Christian music. Take them, download them, use them, borrow them. Growth, health, fruitfulness, stability here, like a tree planted. Mental stability, emotional stability, spiritual stability. How many people in this world don't need that? God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. It comes from meditation on the Word of God and understanding the Word of God, the law of God. Let it dwell in your heart richly and saturate your hearts and minds. Learn to meditate on the Word of God. Of course, you're going to memorize it. If you're meditating on it, you're going to memorize it. Could you memorize one verse a week? I think you could. You know, one a week. We're challenged most of our Sunday school classes to memorize, have a memory verse. If you memorized a verse a week, the kids in Vacation Bible School memorize 5 in a week, and they sing them, plus a bunch more. If you memorize a verse a week, that's 50 verses in a year. Just take a verse that means something to you. Great verses. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know how many times I need that verse? Lots. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest make, can't remember all of it, but the end says, and thou shalt have good success. Make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Listen, meditate on that, the idea of success. There's others. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not, that's the whole thing we're talking about tonight, meditating. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. Meditating on God's word. Trusting in him. Leaning on him. Somebody called me last night. Pastor, I'm writing a letter to John Thune. Can't imagine why. And I want to know where this is in the Bible. Because I know it's in there somewhere. And I knew where she was going. I knew where it was. Meditating on the word of God. The verse, by the way, the verse was, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Meditating on the word of God. Yeah, James chapter 1. Meditation on the word of God. Lay not up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What a great verse to meditate on. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That last phrase of that verse is so powerful for me. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I was talking today to a young man. He's a young adult father now. And I'll close with this. I was talking to two young men. One of them's getting baptized on Sunday. And the other one's was saved 16, 17 years ago. And I was telling Dallas, I said, you know, I kind of lost contact with Tyler. I hadn't seen him for years. And really, to be honest with you, wasn't sure if he really was saved or not, just because there wasn't a lot of evidence there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I was being judgmental. I just wasn't sure. I hadn't seen him. But your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And it's so encouraging. I mean, Tyler's inviting these guys. Today's Bible study was how to win people to the Lord, how to share the gospel. And I'm just sitting there thinking, your labor's not in vain in the Lord. I said, Tyler, I can't remember Was it at the church building in Newcastle? Was that at your house? I think I was the one that led you to the Lord. Is that right? Yeah. Where was it? He said, I think it was in the Newcastle jail between the glass and talking on the phone. Oh, yeah. I remember now. Because I remember talking to somebody. I couldn't remember who it was. Talking through the glass. But I'll be honest with you. I thought, well, I'm so excited this young man got saved, but I'll just be selfishly honest with you. I'll tell you, but the selfish thought I had 16, 17 years ago was, I don't get anything out of that. Because he's got time to serve for something he did before he was saved. And, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? And all the different ones I went to Star Academy and witnessed to, and they got saved. And something in my heart, God said, your labor's not in the vain of the Lord. You shut up and you just witness people and quit trying to calculate how it's going to benefit you in the long run. That's not what you're doing this for anyway, right? I'm sitting there today at the table 16, 17 years later going, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I love that verse because it's true. If you're a politician, your labor's in vain. If you're a weatherman in South Dakota, your labor's in vain. But your labor's not in vain, the Lord. And there's just great verses to meditate on, to trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. Thy barns will be filled with plenty. Thy presses will burst out with new wine. You just put me first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Learn to meditate on verses in the Bible and think about them. And I'll tell you, it helps to listen to them being sung. Bob asked for the song tonight, Be Still and Know That I Am God. I think that's a great verse for Bob to meditate on right now. Be still and know that I am God. By the way, I was talking to somebody today and the other day, and I said, you know, we all get down in the dumps and depressed and discouraged and defeated at times. I said, but you know, Bob, he's experienced something he's never experienced before. But aren't you glad he still shows up anyway and drags that loud pig with him? Don't ever think you're not a testimony. Your hose in your nose is still a testimony. Meditate on the Word of God and just do what you're supposed to do. Trust the Lord. Think and let it saturate your mind, because I'm telling you, this world is bombarding our minds. Dads and moms, if your kids are in the world system, school system, they're getting 7 or 8 hours a day of the world. And they're just getting a couple hours a week at church. Think about that. If they got earphones in their ears, what's going into those ears? Think about that. What are they meditating on? What are they thinking about? My oldest son just left today again. But I'm thankful that he's still focused on what God's will is for his life. He is not meditating on romance. He knows one day God will take care of that. But he's meditating on the Word of God. He was up early in the morning, like a wimp. He was sitting in front of the wood stove because he can't handle how cold it is in the house. Only 72 in the house. He's just freezing, 72 degrees. But he's reading his Bible. Meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on it. Think about it. You are what you think. You are what you think. Let's pray.